Happy Easter. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad I'm here. You join us at the perfect time as we start a brand new message series today. As a parish, we choose a topic or theme, and over the course of several weeks, try to dive deep into it. We found that it really helps people engage, and I'm very excited about this topic because it's going to give us a lot to think about. In fact, we'll be looking at our thought life and how it can work for us and not against us. We're going to explore how to have a healthier thought life. On Easter Sunday, we read the familiar story of the resurrection as told to us by the Apostle John. You know the story. Mary Magdalene discovers the empty tomb. She runs to tell Peter and John, who in turn race back to the tomb to confirm this news for themselves. John arrives first, probably because he was younger and faster. Scripture tells us he saw and believed. He saw and believed. What did he see? He didn't see anything. What did he believe? That Jesus was alive. He had believed that Jesus was dead. Now he believes that Jesus is alive. In other words, he changed his mind. He didn't see anything, but he changed his mind and believed. The key element here being faith. Your success in life depends, in large part, upon your thoughts. Your life always moves in the direction of your strongest thoughts. In any area of your life, where you're experiencing success, where things are going well, you can trace it back to your thought life. Your success followed good and solid thinking. You learned an insight about your industry and ran with it. You believed in your abilities and you reached your goal. You were taught a new habit and that improved your health. Every achievement and success starts with a thought. On the other hand, if there's an area of your life that is not going well, where you're unhappy with the results, then chances are you fell into some faulty thinking along the way. If you have a bad habit or self-defeating behavior, there's probably a limiting belief or lie you buy that is keeping you from changing that behavior or dropping that habit. The way you think and what you think drives your actions and directs your behavior, in turn determining outcomes. And your thinking not only determines your actions and outcomes, it impacts the way you feel. We often connect feelings to the heart, but our feelings are actually driven much more by our thoughts. We might experience our feelings in our heart, but what causes us to feel a certain way begins in our mind and how we think. So, if overall you feel good about your life, in your marriage, with your kids, among your friends, at work, at school, then much of that good feeling comes, at least in part, from your thoughts. However, if you tend to feel depressed, dissatisfied, or disgruntled with your life, then it might be your thoughts that are leading you there. The other point I'd like to make, and one you might push back on, but that's okay, I'm going to make it anyway, is this. You can control your thoughts. It's true, you can. You really can. You can choose what you think about, what you want to think about. It's been called a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset. A growth mindset believes that change is possible, that we can grow beyond our current abilities in every area of our life, including our thinking. The fixed mindset says no. No, you can't change. You can't grow. You get to a certain point, and that's it. You know you have a fixed mindset when you hear yourself saying things like, I will never learn how to handle my finances well. My marriage is never going to get any better. I will never be able to get good grades at this school. The fact of the matter is, the brain can continue to grow as we think differently. As we think differently, we change the physical nature of our brain, rewiring our brain, getting rid of unhelpful patterns of thinking and replacing them with healthier ones. You can control your thought, and here's the thing. Faith can be a powerful factor in that control. All this is nothing new. Scientific research has finally caught up with Scripture. Throughout the Bible, we're taught to pay attention to our thoughts, that if we want to head in the right direction and find success in life, we need to learn to think correctly. In his letter to the Romans, St. Paul famously wrote, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." Then there's a passage we read from Paul's letter to the Colossians. We just heard it in today's second reading. Paul writes to Christ's followers in the church of Colossae, a church community in Asia Minor. And he wrote this, "If then you were raised with Christ, think about what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." On this Easter Sunday, we celebrate that Jesus conquered the grave. He's been raised from the dead. Today celebrates an event in history that changed history. In fact, it changed everything. While the religious and political leaders of his day put him to death because they were jealous of him and they saw him as a threat, Jesus didn't stay dead. Even though they crucified him, 3 days later, he rose from the grave, victorious over sin and death. Unlike John, Paul only came to believe in the resurrection after the risen Jesus himself appeared to him. But following that experience, Paul became an effective, even fierce apostle. Paul, who once persecuted Christians for belief in Jesus and his resurrection, became the biggest proponent of all, perhaps ever. And so it's Paul who teaches us that in celebrating Jesus' resurrection, we don't just celebrate an event that happened 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, but has nothing to do with us today. The resurrection is not a one-and-done kind of deal. Just as Jesus conquered sin and suffering, so too will everyone connected with him. Just as Jesus rose from the dead, so too will everyone connected with him. So, when Paul says, "If you have been raised with Christ," he wants the Colossians to think about that, to think about the implications of that statement and what it means for them. Their lives have been changed as a result of Jesus' resurrection. But then Paul goes on to actually expand his point. He writes, "Think of what is above, not of what is on earth. Set your minds and focus your thoughts on heaven, not just earth, the whole of your mind and all of your thoughts." Now, Paul is not saying to have your head up in the clouds. He doesn't mean for us to be so heavenly-minded that we're no earthly good. When he says, think about what is above, he means start there. Start with the perspective that heaven provides. Start with the perspective that God reigns and God rules and God is in charge of all things. Then put everything in that perspective. The way of the world is to get us to focus on the problems of the world. And they are myriad and heartbreaking. And sometimes the problems close at hand, close to home, can be even worse for us personally. They can be overwhelming. The problems and struggles of our daily life, of parenting small children, negotiating with teenagers, finding friends at school, dealing with employees, building a business, handling our health, handling other people's drama. We become myopic and come to think that life is just dull drudgery and toil. That's what happens. That's what happens when we focus our thinking only on earthly things. However, if we'll reverse our perspective and think about heaven first, with everything else considered in that context, suddenly the earthly problems and struggles aren't necessarily overwhelming. And even what's heartbreaking can hold hope. Keeping in mind that Christ is seated at the right hand of God, the place of highest sovereignty, is the very best possible perspective to view the political problems in our country today, the current conflicts among nations, even the calamity this week in the port of Baltimore. Keeping in mind Christ's resurrection is the best possible perspective to view personal problems and challenges too. Think about it. If Jesus could conquer the grave, he can sure conquer your financial stress or marital strains. If Jesus could conquer the grave, he can help you conquer your struggles at school. If Jesus could conquer the grave, he can help you conquer your fears and dispel your doubts. Paul continues, "For you have died, and your life is hidden now with Christ in God." What does that mean? What does he mean, we have died? Well, when anyone is baptized, they're baptized into Christ's death as well as his resurrection. So increasingly, we aspire as baptized Christ followers to be dead to sin, dead to self-defeating behaviors, dead to unhelpful, unhopeful thoughts. Increasingly, that's just not who we are. Our life is in Christ, and the life we have in Christ is a hardwired connection to him. We can't see it. We often fail to rely on it or even appreciate it, but it's there. It's there waiting for us to use. Christian living is about learning to use that connection, that grace, to become more and more and more like him. How? Precisely by seeing our life in the context of Christ's resurrection and learning to seek first what is above. Successful Christ followers know all of this is a process. It's a journey ever to be undertaken anew. And Easter is a perfect opportunity to get started or start all over again. You could plan to join us over the next 5 weeks in person or online as we take a look at renewing our minds in Christ. We'll look at some specific topics like replacing lies and doubts with truth, reframing problems in the light of God's goodness, rejoicing and living in joy. Join us for this challenging new series in the weeks ahead. But there's actually one other thing you can do today, right here. Did you know that every Easter Sunday, we return to a very ancient, very honored tradition? We renew our baptismal promises. We renew the promises we made in baptism, in which we began our journey with Christ. Even if you're not baptized, you can commit. You can make this promise for the very first time. You certainly don't have to. You're more than welcome to sit this one out, but know that you are welcome to join us. It's a way of committing or recommitting to a loving relationship with a living Lord. Paul concludes his amazing counsel to the Colossians, more or less summing up the whole reason for our gathering today, the whole reason for our gathering at all. He wrote, "When Christ your life appears, then you too will appear with him in glory." That's how the story ends. That's how our story ends. Keep that in mind.